Isaiah 55, if you haven't gotten there, Isaiah 55, and starting in verse 6, and again, we're talking about the power of the seed, and here, again, as we were sharing in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease. So when we look at Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He's saying here, he's saying to the unrighteous man, forsake those kind of thoughts. And let him return what? Unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Now, this is where I wanted to really look at here. Verse 8, for what? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as what? The heavens are higher than the earth. That's pretty high, isn't it? That's pretty high. So are my ways higher than your ways, and what? My thoughts than your thoughts. So if you can think it, I mean, we got some high thinking. Some of us can think some big thoughts. Whatever they are, his is higher. So no matter what you can think, his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. So we ought to take comfort that no matter what goes on, his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and what? Returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may do what? Give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. This is good stuff here. So shall now Isaiah shifts here by the Holy Ghost. He said, so now he's tying what? His word to something natural that he just talked about. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It, the word, or you could say the seed, shall not do what? Return unto me void, but what? It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So where it's sent, where it's received, it's going to prosper. The seed will not return void. It will do what the seed was designed to do. So here we are, here it says, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They are what? Right thoughts. They're righteous thoughts. Now, I want to just add to this a little bit. I'm kind of setting a little ground here for us to chew on here. What is a word? I know this is not high school or grade school, but what is a word? You don't have to answer because I'm just setting a question, because this could go 100 different ways. What is a word? A word is a thought container. A word is a thought container. What do I mean by that? When you have thoughts, where are those thoughts? You can't see a thought. You can't touch a thought. Thoughts are spiritual. But don't get too basic here with you. But thoughts are spiritual, and you express a thought with your words. You can be meditating upon something. Let me say something very basic here. If you fear something, You might be meditating upon something that's fearful. You don't say anything. You're thinking about it. And then you do what? You say something. So that word that you express is a capsule or an expression of what? You're conveying something. You're conveying your joy, your fear, your laughter. Those things that you think on, those thoughts, you convey with what? Words. So words are like seeds. And that's what, when we say God's thoughts are in his word. If you want to know what God thinks, you look at his word. And a lot of people said, oh, God, help me. He said, I've already spoken about that where? In my word. He's already spoken about it. If you want to know what God thinks, it's in his word. This is a logos word, but it's been spoken through the prophets, and they've penned it. And so words are containers of thoughts. It conveys a thought, right? And those thoughts, those words, are seeds. That's why it's so important when we think about this, the kind of books you read, what you watch on TV, what kind of music, because somebody who wrote that play, who penned that music, conveyed something that was inside of them with lyrics, with something they penned on paper, something that they penned, they expressed that in words, but it was something on the inside of them. And it was either motivated by good or evil. Something that was godly or ungodly. So when we accept those words, when we receive them, we receive the spirit of what was conveyed in those words. Was it fear? Then if we receive that, you see enough of it. People feed enough on the news and feed enough on stuff, and they keep feeding that and feeding that and feeding that, and they keep watering it with stuff that they hear, and all of a sudden they're walking in fear. Because they've received words, which are like seeds, you see. Everybody understand what I'm getting at? So it said, a lot of times, when we look at words, see, a lot of times we think words, and it is, words are to communicate, but words are really to release what's on the inside of us. What we need to express is what words are used for. Because if you're just talking to talk, it's idle. It's not going to produce. Well, it may produce something, but it's not good. So words or seeds are used to create or to convey something that we're thinking about. I'm just going to share some more scripture, and then we'll jump over. And actually, if you want, you can turn over to Matthew 13, because I'm going to just share a few scriptures leading to this. But talking about words, and you don't have to turn to these unless you want to, but I'm just going to move quickly here. Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, through faith, this is Hebrews 11, 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke something. It was in his heart. God is a spirit, so he had a vision of something. And he conveyed that when he said, let there be something. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be this. He conveyed something that he desired, that he wanted. God doesn't just speak to speak. When God speaks, something happens. Something is created. Something's changed. And so he doesn't just speak to communicate with us. He does, but it's to affect us in some kind of way. right? And that's how we ought to be. We don't just speak to speak. So when God speaks, it does what? It conveys his thoughts. And I just think about this. If I spoke a language that I don't understand, I know there's a few in here, I'm looking at them right now. They could speak to me in a language they do. I would have no clue what they're saying. But they could be conveying a thought or an intent to me. They could be speaking something to me in another language, in words, conveying a thought. And if I didn't understand those words, then I don't understand. I'm not going to understand the thought they're trying to convey. I don't understand the words. Do you understand my point? So what I'm saying is that words, if they're not understood, if they're not received, then we miss the thought behind it. And it's the same thing where the word of God is concerned. God is speaking some things. If we don't receive his word or understand it, we miss his thoughts. So thoughts are spiritual. Thoughts are spiritual. And they have substance. They have spiritual substance. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth little, nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So the words that Jesus speaks are spirit and they're life. The word is, Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. So when we talk about, you know, when we get over to Matthew 8:13, we're going to look at the parable of the sower, and the sower sows the word. But just continuing a little bit here on this thought of thoughts are conveyed with words, I'll just remind you, Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are. So that means words that we speak convey something that's on the inside, and it can be either life words or death words. Life and death is in the power of our tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Here's another scripture we don't often remind ourselves of it, but it's so anyways. This is in Proverbs 24:9. Listen to this. A lot of times people say sin is this, right? But this here, this is what the word of God says. Proverbs 24:9, it says, "The thought of foolishness is sin." The thought of it means you didn't act on it. The thought of it. The thought of foolishness is sin. Here's another scripture, Matthew 15:18. It says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth," listen to this, "those things that proceed out of the mouth," what's coming out of the mouth? Words. It says, "come forth from the heart." See, this is what we're talking about. This is the word of God. "Those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." This is Matthew 15:18. "And they defile the man." That's what the scripture says. They defile the man. So what does that mean? It means that if I'm meditating on things that are full of life, if I'm meditating on things that are, like we're singing this song here, "I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed." If I meditate on that and I keep thinking about that, then it's going to be hard. If you think about that enough, then it pushes out of you the thoughts of lack. It pushes out of you, "I can't do this. I can't make it." It pushes out those thoughts because his thoughts are spirit and life. And so we need to watch what we say. We need to say, "I am blessed." What does that mean? Even when it doesn't look like it, because his word is true. His word is true. His word is spirit and life. And so, continuing, it says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, the Pharisees were making a big stink saying, oh, you know, your disciples are out here, you know, your folks following you, they ate and they didn't wash their hands. And then Jesus got on the case and said, no, that's not what defiles a man. These are the things that defile him. And he probably turned around and said, such be some of you. And so what Jesus was saying is that the words that we speak, this is what he said here in this verse 18, the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Here's another one, and we'll shift gears here. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See? This is what we're talking about. Words convey what you're thinking about, what your thoughts are. See? And it says, let no corrupt communication proceed where? Out of your mouth. Where's that coming from? Your heart. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So God's thoughts are eternal, they're spiritual, and his thoughts are spoken or revealed through his word. That's how they are. So again, there's nothing wrong with the seed. This is what we're trying to point out here today. The seed is eternal. The word of God is eternal. It's spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the seed. What's the problem? A heart. It's the ground that the seed gets placed in. That's what we'll show. And when the heart receives the seed and it's receptive, then it'll produce. Now let's go over to, if you're there, Matthew 13 and verse 18. Matthew 13 and 18. I want to read a few scriptures, verses here from the King James. Matthew 13 and verse 18. I'll just wait a moment. And it says, hear ye the parable of the sower. Now, prior to this, Jesus spoke in parables, and now he's unfolding that. Or as you know, they say in today, he's unpacking this to their understanding. But at the beginning of this, he spoke in parables. It says here, and a great multitude were gathered together with him. And then he went into a ship and he sat there and he began to speak to those that gathered there. And it said there was a great multitude and he spoke in parables to them. But now, further down here, verse 10, it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? See, at least they knew he was speaking in parables. They knew that much. And he said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Well, I could say the same thing. It's been given unto me to know the mysteries of heaven. The Holy Spirit has been sent to unfold the word of God to us. And so Jesus began in verse 18 here, and he said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, and he's speaking to his disciples now. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and does what? Catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And then it goes on and it says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So here we have three different types of ground. We have this wayside. The New Living calls it a footpath. The wayside or a footpath. Then we have rocky, we have here it says stony places, and the New Living, it calls it rocky soil, you see, so there's not much earth, a lot of rocks in it. And then we have another one which calls it a thorny place, it says here among thorns, and then it says what? The deceitfulness of, or the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So we have three different types of settings, but all three of them were unfruitful. They didn't bear fruit, no fruit. So the seed didn't bear fruit, but it had nothing to do with the seed. The seed has the potential in it to produce. Do you realize, I was looking this up on the internet the other day, I said, what's the oldest seed that is ever produced in the natural? Anybody know? I was just curious. The oldest seed recorded, natural seed, that's ever germinated and produced. They found a seed in Israel, in Jerusalem area, that was over 2,000 years old. It germinated and that produced. They found another seed, I forget what year they found this in. They found another seed in Siberia that was encased in ice. It was, they carbon dated it. It was 32,000 years old. It germinated and produced. It grew. So here you have a seed that when it's placed in the right conditions, it grows. It has to grow because in that seed is the potential to produce. It has the power to produce. But you've got to put it in the ground. You've got to treat it properly. You've got to give it the right conditions. And that's no different with the Word of God. I can take this seed and stick it up on my shelf like a packet of seeds, and it can sit there year after year after year after year, and it has the power in it. It's impregnated with God's DNA. His power. What does it say? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the seed, the word of God, is the power of God unto salvation to what? To everyone that what? Believeth. There it is right there. So that seed won't work unless it's received. And that's why when you look at this example here, when it says about the wayside, and it says, this one that hears the word and understandeth it not, it's really talking about somebody that don't receive it. And I'll give you an example. I'll give you some scripture if you'd like, just for a short moment here, to support that. It says here, Proverbs 1:7, I'm going to give you a few scriptures about someone that doesn't receive the seed, right? So they reject it. That's why Satan can come and take it. It says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So somebody can hear the word and go, nope, not for me. So they reject it. Here's another, Proverbs 2:1. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Where is that? In your heart. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. So you got to hear it and now apply it. It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her. It's talking about wisdom and the word of God. It's saying, and searches for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's what this is talking about. Here's another. Proverbs 18:1, it says, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So when a person hears the word, Satan can't just come and take something. He can't. It's a person who hears it and then doesn't apply it or just won't, not for me. Here's one last scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of them that what? Believe not. See. Now think about this, you know, just in just reflecting a moment here. When you think about a path, you know, I mean, I grew up around little country settings and different things. And, you know, as a young boy, you know, you go hiking, you know, you do all these kind of things, right? In the Boy Scouts, you do these kind of things. And so when you are around that, everybody ever walk on a path, right? You could have all kinds of stuff around you. It's growing up and all of that. But now you've got a path. It's what? It's beaten down. It's hard. And what's interesting is that it's a beaten down path. You throw seed on that. You ever see anything get, you know, it's kind of hard for it to take root because it just sits on the top. It's what? Hard. Now, what is he talking about ground here? He's talking about our hearts. So if our hearts are hard to the word of God, and we hear it but don't accept it, then Satan will come and steal the word that's been sown. Now, I'm going to say something, you know, you may agree, you may not, but all of us, me too, all of us, I include myself, all of us are growing spiritually. We're growing in the Word of God. And all of us, really, in some ways, maybe not all of these examples, but in some ways, all of us have a footpath that's hard. So when we hear the word of God, we go, I got to think about that. Every one of you, if you're honest. I'll give you an example, because this is where church people live. I'll be honest with you. This is where church people live. Walking in love. And you say, well, that's hard place. Because he said that he's given us the power to walk in love. And the seed, if we let the seed of the word of God come into our hearts and germinate and we water it, it will allow us to walk in love. It'll give us what? The power to walk in love in situations where it's not lovely, where we can't naturally walk in love. But if we don't receive the seed, if we just operate in the way we operate, you know, they didn't talk to me today, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or whatever, and you get your nose out of joint, that's a hard place. That's a footpath. That's something that we've not allowed the word of God. And then, you know, how can the seed be stolen? Thoughts come, well, I'm going to give them a piece, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something to them. Well, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. See, don't let those thoughts, what? Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we are to do what? Cast that down. Take it into captivity. You see? So there are things, and I'm not saying we all live in this place, but I'm just saying as a place of reflection that God is using that so that we can see that the seed will produce if it's put in ground and if it's nurtured. And again, here, as it said, we have four different types of soil. And Let's turn over here to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's take a quick look at this. Still talking about the seed or the word of God. Luke 8:11. The seed is the word of God. But Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God, or you could say the seed, because that's what it is. It says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God, or the seed, is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. What is the seed? The word of God. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of what? Thoughts. The thoughts and intents of the heart. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 20. This has helped me immeasurably to just go back and meditate on these truths, to keep reminding myself that the seed is in me and it's producing, it's working in me. The seed that's been planted in my heart is working in me. And we have to meditate on that. Proverbs 4:20, it says, "My son, attend to my words." And I put in brackets for me, attend to my seed. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear unto the seed. See? Let them not depart from thine eyes. What is he talking about? Let the seed not depart from thine eyes. Keep the seed where? In the midst of your heart. That's what the scripture says. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. What is he talking about? Keep the seed ever before you. For they are life. What is he talking about? The seed. So you could say, for the seed is life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The seed is. Oh, God. The seed is life. My words are spirit and life. The seed is life. The seed is health. I'm telling you right now, I don't care what goes on in our bodies. The seed can make organs function. If I get enough seed, and I water it, and I water it, and I nourish it, and I get enough sunshine, and I keep meditating, and I keep it before my eyes, and I keep it in my ears, and I let it in my heart, and keep it in my heart, it will make parts in my body that didn't work, work. It'll make hearts function properly. It'll make kidneys function properly. It'll make pancreas function properly. We've seen it. We've seen it. And we know about it. We get testimonies of it. You get enough of God's word in you, and it will change you. It'll change not only your physical being, but it'll change your thinking. What is Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, by the seed of God's word. So it'll change your mind, it'll change your heart, it'll change. That's when it says you'll have life and health. I like what some of the other translations say. In the Living Bible, it says you will have real life and radiant health. Real life. What does that mean? And radiant health. The Amplified says, keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Now listen, I like this. The Amplified qualifies something here. It says, you will have healing and health to all your flesh. See, if you need healing in your body, something's not working, you need healing. But health is divine health. That means I'm walking in divine health. So it's not only healing, but it's health. I'm walking in divine health. That means sickness can't come in my body because why? The seed's there. It's growing. It's taken root. Hallelujah. That means the same thing. If I get, God spoke to me years ago. He spoke this in a time of prayer. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you know, God knows some things about what you're doing and not doing. I was working the word in the area of healing, still do, and was walking. Now, this was a time where I had some symptoms in my body, but he began to speak to me about my giving and what I was doing. I was giving 20%, 30% weekly, but I wasn't seeing the harvest of my seed sowing, and I began to question it in my thinking. Never spoke it. And he began to say to me, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So what he was saying to me is, you've got to keep this seed constantly before you. The word, you've got to speak it. You've got to act upon it. That means I give as I choose to give. And then at the same time, I'm watering it. I'm watering it, and I'm doing what? I'm speaking what I believe. I'm speaking what I believe. You know, think about Mark 11:23. Just turn over there for a second, if you will. Mark 11:23, we're talking about speaking. Mark 11:23, and it's talking about faith. This is speaking faith. One's speaking, one's praying. Verse 24 is praying, but it's still talking about faith. But when we talk about seed, and the what I call the efficacy of seed, or the potential or the ability of the seed, what's coming out of our mouth? Words are seeds that, when spoken, produce. Seeds produce. Now look at what verse 23 says. It says, Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever what shall say, say what? The seed. Whosoever shall say or speak the seed unto this mountain. So you got an obstacle. If you don't think a seed sown 6 inches underground and got all this dirt, a little pebble of a seed has got to push through a mountain. If you don't think that's a mountain, I don't know what is. That seed's got to push through. So what does it say? It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. In his heart. In his heart. You're not doubting the seed that's been planted in your heart. You received it. And it goes on to say, but shall believe those things which he saith. See, we all saying, I believe what I say. Really? Then what are you saying? I believe what I say. In other words, doubt not, but believe the things that you say. We're talking about death and life's in the power of the tongue, and they'll eat the fruit of it. This is saying here, when I speak, I'm speaking the seed. I'm speaking the word of God because it's eternal and it'll produce. The seed will produce. And it says here, if I believe those things which I say, they shall come to pass. In other words, if I believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So here we're talking about, we cannot let conditions dictate what we say. We cannot. Cannot. Now, again, back on the types of ground, when we look at the type of ground, one was a wayside or a footpath. So again, just to reiterate, The seed has a hard time penetrating through that. It's been trodden down. It's a hard place. It's somebody who's made their mind up already. You know, they've made their mind up. They hear it, but they don't want to hear it. They already have, somebody who already has a belief system in place, right? So they're not open to receive the seed. That's a hard place. Or a wayside, as it calls it. So they don't receive the seed. And again, the next, again, is a stony place. And as I shared, it's talked about as a rocky soil in the New Living. It has shallowness of ground. And in this case here, it talks about the seed is received, the seed is sown, and it goes in, but it does not completely take root. There's no foundation. This is somebody who hears it, gets it, and may even need it, but there's no foundation here, and they soon fall away. Think about the scripture here in Luke 6:47. I'll read it. It says, "Whosoever cometh to me and does what? Heareth my sayings and doeth them." This is the Luke 6:47. Somebody who comes to me, hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid what? A foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. It was founded upon the seed of God's word. And then it goes on and it says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth." See, we're talking about the type of ground here again. "Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So you can see here that when it talks about no foundation, it's somebody that heard the word, but then didn't act on it, didn't do it, or wasn't consistent with it. The third type of ground, as we talked about, was thorns. This is somebody who's double-minded. In other words, they're preoccupied with something. And again, you could say that it's spiritual strangulation in a sense. But think about the scripture. I just read a few scriptures here and to kind of highlight this. When we talk about double-mindedness or somebody who has the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, or some of the other translations says the lure of riches, the lure of it. There's a lure to it. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So that just means that God doesn't have first place. It doesn't mean that we don't go and work. It doesn't mean that we don't aspire to have things. It doesn't mean that we're not blessed in our and have abundance. It doesn't mean that. It means that you don't let that crowd out God. That's what that means. That he has to have. All that you do is so that you can be used to be a blessing. And so, all three of these grounds, there was no fruit produced. And then we look at the fourth type of ground, the good ground, or good soil. It was fruitful. So this is seed that has taken full hold in a yielded heart. It produces fruit. They understand it. They obey it. They speak it. They act and live the gospel. Right? They're not offended by the gospel. They're not offended by circumstances and trials. How come this is happening to me? God, I've served you all my life. Why is this happening to me? Because there's a devil. And you know, I always use, when we talk about seeds, it's easier to squash an acorn than it is a full-grown oak tree. The devil will try to smash a seed in its infancy or a little seedling before it gets root. Because once it gets a root in, it's tough for him to defeat that. So sometimes seeds, when they're in their infancy, you may go through some stuff. Because he's trying to do what? Destroy it. He's trying to destroy the seed that's in the ground of your heart. And he's trying to put stuff on you so that you do what? Get offended or give up, you see. But the seed cannot fail in ground that it's been received and acted upon. It cannot fail. I don't care what we're going through. God's word cannot fail. Just think about the scriptures. It says, his word, his seed, is forever settled in heaven. It's settled. It will produce. If we act upon it, we work it, we keep nurturing it, just like in the ground, if we give it the right conditions, the seed will produce. No farmer plants seed and spends hundreds of thousands of dollars to plant his field and then go out and invest in a very expensive equipment. I remember going up, you know, sometimes I go up and visit my sister in Buffalo and I'll drive through some of the back roads up in those areas. And I remember I was zipping along and now when you go through there, it's all windmills and things in these fields and they lease space to put these windmills up in these fields. And I remember coming up over this hill, and here's this huge tractor, double wheels, four wheels, and these big arms that went out like this. They had them collapsed up, but it took both sides of the road. I went, whoa, I'm off almost in the ditch. This thing is huge. Now, what farmer would go and buy something like that if they didn't think that the field would produce? It'd be stupid. So they're convinced that the seed will produce. We need to have as much conviction. We need to be as convinced that the seed of God's word will produce in our hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just think about this here. Just as I keep sharing this here, talk about the seed. Listen to these scriptures here. John 1:12. It says, but as many as received him, who? The seed. Him is the word. Him is the seed. But as many as received him, the seed, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The seed did that. The word did that. Where was the power? In the word. The power was in the word to make us sons of God. And it says, even to them that believe on his name. Here's a familiar scripture, Luke 1:37. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That means the seed will produce. Listen to this in the Amplified. It says, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God, no seed from God, shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Ooh, that gets me excited right there. For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God, this is the Amplified, Luke 1:37, no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. That means it's impossible for the seed not to produce. It has the power within it to produce. That means the seed has healing in it and it will produce. It will produce healing. The seed has the power in it to produce prosperity. And it says it's impossible not to. It's impossible not to. God's word will produce. if we receive it, and as the scripture said, my son, attend to my seed, tend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, the seed. Let them not depart, the seed, from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of thine heart, for it is life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. What did that? The seed, the word of God. Hallelujah. Does everybody get something out of this? Except me? I know you're getting something. I'm just seeing if you're awake. But I'm just such that the seed of the word of God, I don't care when it says with God, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. No thing is impossible with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what it said in the Amplified. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Hallelujah. See, if we allow thoughts, we have control over the thoughts. We have to keep thinking. You know, thoughts come in. Look, me too. I have to keep putting them down. No. Brother Hagin, I was just reading something today and yesterday in the healing book, his daily health food. And he said, he needed some, he was out in the field ministry, and he said he needed some extra money for Christmas presents. And he said he called, he wrote a letter to his wife, and he said, because they were using cell phones and all that. So he wrote a letter and said, at this time, I want you to open your Bible to Matthew 18, 19. And he said, we're going to agree for a certain amount of money. This is it. And we're going to agree to receive it. We touch and agree anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. It shall be done. And Brother Hagin said, okay, I want us to agree for this amount of money at this time. And as far as he was concerned, he said, we got it. So he said they took the offering and they counted the money. And the pastor there said, well, he said, I sure hope, you know, he said to him, you know, just hope you got a good offering. I know it's Christmas time, all of this. And he said he was short of the amount that they believed for. And he said, well, no, it has to be here. He said, we believe for a certain amount. It's got to be here. Well, let's count it again. He said they counted it again. It was still short. He said, no, he's got to be here. Got to be here. We agreed. And so they counted it four times. And he said, I wasn't leaving. This is what he said. I wasn't leaving because we agreed that we received. And it's got to be here. So he said about that time, he remembered that some lady gave him an offering and he had it in his coat pocket. So he pulled it out and he said there was, the lady said she had taken a Bible and she paid for the Bible. And then she put her offering in. And it was for $25. They were short, he said, $23.12. And he said, we were short $23.12. He said, it's got to be here. He said, I'm sorry, but we're not leaving until we find it. It's got to be here. So he said, when he saw that, he said they were over by about $2 or less. But he said, I got it. And we've got to be just as convinced that if God said it in his word, it shall be done. And that means that he said that his seed, his word, is forever settled in heaven. We let go when we let thoughts persist in our minds. What does the scripture say? Casting down every vain imagination and thought that does what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the word of God, the seed. So when something comes into your mind and you have agreed that we have this, we've touched and agreed on this, and a thought comes in that's contrary, you need to go, I'm sorry, nope, nope, No matter how much it persists, you go, no, 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 we agreed. We agreed. We agreed. And it's working. It's working. And that's doing what? That's bringing into question the seed or the word of God and saying, no, it's not going to produce. Oh, yes, it will produce. And I believe that it's going to produce. I believe that we're going over. I believe that my body's healed. I believe I have the finances. I believe. And it's working. You've got to believe that you've what? Received the seed. We need to stop saying, God, help me. Well, what you're doing is you're saying, I don't know if the seed will produce. No, you've got to say, I believe your word, I've planted it, and it's working. That's our response to God. Not keep saying, oh God, help me. Oh God, every time some pressure comes, oh God, help me. No, you got to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and forbid you to keep bothering with this. It says what? He says, just think about it. In Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is. Or is it, it's 4, I think. It's Philippians 4. It says, be careful for nothing. And don't be anxious. I think it's the Message translation, I think. It might be a different one, but it says, don't be concerned about one thing. Well, you know, somebody said, that's not possible. Yes, it is. Otherwise, it'd be a lie in the scripture. This says here, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, what? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. So we're going to have to, what did the scripture say? Going back to Proverbs 4, my son, attend unto my words. Keep thinking about it. Attend to it. Let it not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. Meditate on it. Act on it. And those that find it, it'll should be what? Life and health to their flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just going back again to just wrap up here. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is eternal. The seed is the word of God, and the seed has impregnated in it God's very thoughts. His very nature has been breathed into his word. What he thought has been breathed into his word, into his seed. When I keep taking the seed into my spirit, it will produce a harvest and a crop that will produce exactly what he desired, what he said, what his will is. It will produce. Think about it. If God said, okay, be this, he's spoken a word, it will produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't let life determine, don't let circumstances determine the outcome of the seed. Don't let circumstances choke the seed. Don't do it. Don't do it. Keep watering it. Keep feeding it. Keep feeding it. I was hearing a minister. He worked at Prayer and Healing School at Kenneth Hagin Ministry, and he was sharing this story about someone who had come with terminal cancer, and he said, fortunately for them, and I say fortunately, they were able to stay for a period of time. And he said they were there for, I think he said, I don't know, it was a couple of years. And they just stayed and they kept getting the word, getting the word, getting the word. And he said they actually got worse. They got worse. He He said, but they kept taking the seed. They kept getting the word, kept taking the seed, kept taking the seed, kept taking the seed. And then it changed, and they started getting a little better, and a little better, and a little better, and a little better, till they got a clean bill of health. But you see, don't let the circumstances, don't let the body say, oh no, the seed's not working. No. The seed will produce life and health to those that find them. You've got to keep feeding on the seed. Don't let circumstances say, oh, you don't have enough money. You'll never have this. No, the seed will produce prosperity in us if we keep taking it, taking it, taking it, and feeding on it and acting upon it. It will produce. Just think about it. If I plant a cotton, if I plant corn, I'm not getting apples. If I plant oranges, I'm not getting plums. If I plant the Word of God, it's going to produce exactly what God has impregnated it with. When he said, what did he say? He said, he gave the power to everyone that what? Believeth to become the sons of God. The Word of God is the power of God. And it has the power to drive out of our bodies sickness and disease. It has the power to drive out of your life fear and give you peace. Don't let say, oh, I'm so fearful. I'm so this, I'm so that. I'm not saying that it's not so. But you need to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't say what you feel. Say the word of God. Say, thank God you've heard my plea. Thank God the seed is working. It's effectually at work in me. It's working in me. It's working in me, producing these results. That's what we've got to do. I hope this is hitting home for some folks. Hallelujah. This is where the rubber meets the road, because it can mean the difference between going over or going under. Because the scripture is very clear. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches do what? Strangle the word. And it becometh unfruitful. So we have to make a decision. God's word is true. His seed will produce. And my spirit is the ground in which the seed it's planted in. And this seed is good ground because, what is 2 Peter 1:23? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God. So I have incorruptible ground, good ground. And I'm planting the incorruptible seed in it. Don't let corruption come in and choke it. Let the word of God grow. It may take some time. It may take a little time because maybe things have gotten, maybe your mind's got to get renewed. But it will change it. It has to. God said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's another scripture. Think about this. I'll close with this. I know we're going a little longer here, but I feel this is hitting home here. Go to 1 John 3 and verse 9. Think about this scripture here, talking about seed. 1 John, I want everybody to see this. 1 John 3, 9. And I'm going to read it from the King James. But I'm going to read it also in the New Living Translation. So whatever translation, we're talking about seed and the impact of the seed in your spirit. See? It says, this is 1 John 3:9, the King James Version. Whosoever is born of God does what? Doth not commit sin. Why? For his seed remaineth in him. Oh, boy. Glory to God. I'll tell you, that's just, whoo! It says, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. His seed remaineth in us. Now let me read it from the New Living. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you might not miss it. It means that you're not comfortable participating in doing something that's not godlike. Maybe you spoke to somebody a wrong way, or maybe you did something and your spirit's going, I'm uncomfortable. That bothered me. That's because what? The seed is in your spirit, the word of God. The seed remaineth in you. In other words, you're not making a practice of sinning. Well, if the seed is in us, that means if I keep watering it, I'll walk in health because his seed remaineth in me. That means I'll walk in peace. I'll walk in love and I'll walk in prosperity. Why? Because the seed is in me and it will produce that. That's why when you see scriptures, when it talks about how we can love, and it goes on here, I just feel impressed. I'm excited about this. I'm sorry, but just one more scripture. Go over to 2 Peter 1:3. Go over to 2 Peter 1:3. When I got thinking about this, I'll tell you, I'm looking at my own life. Thank you. I had a man come out of Nanuet 2 weeks ago. He was on a cane. He was crying. He was coming out. And he's been, you know, sometimes he's, he came out, he was going. He said, Pastor, I'm taking back what I've not been walking. I said, that's it. He got hold of the seed, the message. He got hold of it. He said, I'm taking what I've not had taken. He was reflecting that, look, I've been not listening. I haven't taken advantage of the seed. The seed has the power in it to produce. Hallelujah. Listen to 2 Peter 1:3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness through the seed. Through the knowledge of him. Through the seed. He's given us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. That hath called us to glory and virtue. Now listen. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these what? The seed. You might be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. It's through the seed. It's through the word of God. It's through the knowledge of him that we partake of what's been put in the seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we've got to believe it, and we've got to receive it, and we've got to act upon it. Otherwise, it doesn't produce. It gets choked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know it took a little extra time here today, but I believe that this message is so important. I really do. Because these are things that are, you know, you might call it foundational, but it's more meat. It's where we live. If you keep meditating upon bad seed that's been planted in your heart, and you keep meditating on lack, you keep meditating and thinking upon, what does the scripture say? As a man thinketh, so is he. You keep thinking about something that's negative. You keep thinking about it, so is he. That's fruit bearing. But if I think about the word of God, if I don't let it depart from thine eyes, if I keep it before me, if I think about it, if I meditate upon it, then those that find it, that's harvest time. That's producing life and health. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.